जय स्परिकार श्री श्री गुरु ग्रंग श्री श्री गंधार्विक गिरिर हरि जू की जय। ओम ज्ञान तमरंदस्या ज्ञानांजना शलाकाया चक्षुरोन्मीलिता येना तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। So I want to take a little time to address the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Math worldwide. My dandavat pranams to all of you. And I want to discuss a few matters that are becoming more and more notable and I think more and more problematic as time goes on in our mission. And I've addressed those of you who are visitors to our website. I know that I've addressed many of these matters previously through various articles that I've written. And I think it was suggested to me that not everyone likes to read so much, so I should address some of these points as I'm doing now through this videotape. And I'll probably make a number of these video recordings, because actually there are many, many points, there are many questions. And it will take a long time. It will take some time to address them. So those that don't like to read, that's okay. But I have to say that I think this, even the videotape, is not going to be for the weak of heart or those who are do not have a long attention span, because we're going to cover some subjects which require some understanding of some particular points, not only primarily Srila Gurudev's will, his last will and testament, which he left as his final directions to the devotees of his society, but also incorporated within those, incorporated within our discussion, our various points of Shastra and Srila Gurudev's own words, the words of Srila Sridhar Maharaj and the words of Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj. So, I think one place to begin and is at the beginning. So we'll start there. We faced the disappearance of His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami Maharaj. Everyone knows that he was the one single acharya of the worldwide mission known as Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Math. Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Math included many different ashrams and mats around the world, with many different names, but such as Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Seva Ashram in SoCal, or other names like that. So not everything, the worldwide mission, is known generally as Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Math, but it means all the mats and ashrams and temples that were working under the direct guidance, the direction of Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami Maharaj, or previously, under the direction of Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj. I don't know how many of you will be aware of this, but in 1987, there was one mat outside of India, to the best of my knowledge, that was considered directly Chaitanya Sarasat Mat, and working under the direction of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, and that was the London Mat. But maybe there was also one in Malaysia. I'm not sure exactly what the timeline is for that. But with those two exceptions, the only other Mat that I'm aware of outside of India is the Mat here that Srila Sridhar Maharaj directed me to establish in 1987. So I approached Srila Sridhar Maharaj at the time of Gaur Purnim in March or April of 1987 and suggested to him that I was not satisfied working separately with a separate mission from his. He had previously directed the sannyasis that had taken sannyas initiation from him but were previously devotees of ISKCON. He had directed us to establish our own missions and try to work together under one banner known as Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Krishna Kirtan Mahamandal. And abbreviated Mahamandal. So he suggested that we organize ourselves, that we would each have separate missions, but that we would try to work together in some fashion as this Mahamandal, and that we should elect a president, a vice president, and so forth. So we met, I'm not sure what year, it may have been 1982, it may be in 1983, but we met in India and formed a loose organization. I don't think it was ever registered. We wanted it to be registered, but it never was. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj had suggested that Sripad Sagar Maharaj be named as the president, and so he was named as he was. We voted, and we voted him as president. And Sripad Goswami Maharaj is vice president. There was another sannyasi at that time by the name of Aranya Maharaj. He was made treasurer, and I was named as the secretary. Excuse me. So I established with the permission of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, I asked if I could use the name International Vaishnava Royal Society, and that came about, as one might guess, from the organization previously established known as the Vishva Vaishnava Raj Sabha. And so Srila Sridhar Maharaj agreed with that, and when I returned to the United States, I incorporated a society in Detroit with the help of Sriman Suresh Durgam, and he was very gracious to me and kept me in his house very nicely and comfortably for some time after immediately after returning to America in 1982, when there was no longer any possibility of working with ISKCON because they decided that we must either leave our connection with Srila Sridhar Maharaj or we would not be allowed to work in ISKCON. So I had already taken sannyas from Srila Sridhar Maharaj just a few months before that, in October of 1981. I would not leave the sannyas that was given to me by this exalted Vaishnava. And so when I returned to Detroit from India, then I knew I had gone to India from the Detroit temple. When I took sannyas, Srila Sridhar Maharaj told me, work in the zone of Hansa Duda Maharaj or Jayatirtha Maharaj or Atreya Rishi. And Detroit was under the joint charge of Atreya Rishi and Jayatirtha Maharaj, so I went there. And from there I went to India in early 1982. But then, as mentioned, when I returned, then it was no longer possible to return to the Detroit temple. So I had about $60 in my pocket. I arrived at the airport in Detroit, and I had nowhere to go, no way to pay for maybe one night hotel I might find, if I could find a cheap hotel someplace, motel room. And miraculously, I was met at the airport by a devotee of ISKCON, Suresh Durgam. He was not initiated, but he was taking part, and he was helping with the Indian program for the Detroit Temple, and he invited me to his home, and I've told this story before, so I won't go into that. But he was so kind to me. He and his family gave me a whole room for my use, and gave me every facility, and took care of me like one of their own. And so for that, I've always felt very much indebted to Suresh Durgam and his wife. So that's a little background. And at that same time, Bhakti Sudhir Goswami, perhaps he was, I think at that time he was still Dear Krishna Swami, had not taken sannyas yet from Srila Sridhar Maharaj, but he had opened a temple in San Jose. And he chose the name for that, the Krishna Consciousness Movement. And after his initial idea, I think, was to have Srila Sridhar Maharaj as the guru there, and his Srila Sridhar Maharaj's photo was installed in the parampara, as I recall. But at some point, with Srila Sridhar Maharaj's permission, Goswami Maharaj decided that he would initiate his own disciples. And he did that, and he made disciples there. And with some encouragement from Srila Sridhar Maharaj, adopted the attitude that generally those who would come through his preaching would become his disciples. But if there were any exceptional case, someone was not satisfied with that idea, they wanted initiation from Srila Sridhar Maharaj, then Goswami Maharaj would act as Ritvik for Srila Sridhar Maharaj, or those persons could go to India and be initiated directly by Srila Sridhar Maharaj there. And that same idea was adopted by all of us, and Srila Sridhar Maharaj gave the same permission and direction to myself and to Sripad Sagar Maharaj, and maybe I think Ashram Maharaj also, and maybe one or two other sannyasis. He encouraged us to initiate our own disciples. And but with this caveat, if there's any special case and we feel it's some necessity, then those persons can be sent to Srila Sridhar Maharaj for initiation, or we could act as Ritvik for him and give initiations. So we followed that for some time from 1982 or 1983 onwards. But by 1987, by 1986 actually, I had developed a feeling that of dissatisfaction with that arrangement. I saw no need for me to initiate anyone. Srila Sridhar Maharaj was, in my mind, non-different in his position from Srila Prabhupada, my guru. And I saw no difference between his instruction, his spiritual presence, his divinity. Everything was what I noted in Srila Prabhupada to be divinity of the highest and most exalted state. So it seemed unnecessary then that I would initiate anyone when such an exalted personality was present, and that was preferable. So, and another reason was that I wanted to try to attract the grace of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, and I thought my best means for doing that is to establish a temple of his in the United States. And the idea came about that New York, I was invited to New York, New York City. Some devotees there had appreciation for Srila Sridhar Maharaj's teachings and thought it would be a good idea to go to New York and establish a temple for Srila Sridhar Maharaj. So in March of 87 or early 87, during the time of Gaur Purnim, I discussed this with Srila Sridhar Maharaj. He liked the idea and sent me to New York to establish a Chaitanya Saraswat Math in New York City. And to help with that, he sent initially, I believe, two brahmacharis, Rohini Kumar and Devanath Prabhu. And later, one lady, Vrajavala, she wanted to take initiation from Srila Sridhar Maharaj, and he sent her to help me. And then we were joined by another lady that we met in New York City. She had been reading the books of Srila Sridhar Maharaj and became very attracted by him. Wanted to take initiation from him, and somehow heard that I was there, and so she wanted initiation. I gave that by as a Ritvik of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, and her name was given as Divya Shakti Devi. So everyone knows Divya Shakti. She's famous in our mission. And others joined, some came, some went, and different things happened from that. So that's how we started this mot. Now we're in New Jersey, and with a legal presence in New York City, but not so much a physical one. Some of our devotees live in New York City, and we are registered as Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Math in both New York and here in New Jersey. But the initial enthusiasm for the Sridhar Maharaj Temple in New York City waned as, from my perspective, what I saw was that devotees they didn't really want exactly a Sridhar Maharaj temple. They had their own idea of what the temple should be, and it was a temple more along the lines of the ISKCON temples of Srila Prabhupada. And although there was not all that much difference, only some difference in our morning and evening programs and some things like this, some slight difference in what we were preaching, but not so much. And another part of that, I think, is they had the idea that they could make it in the fashion that they wanted, and I was insistent that we make it in the fashion that Srila Sridhar Maharaj would want. And as I was the one given the charge of that, then that meant what it always means for Mott commander or temple president, things will mostly come out as he wants them. And I was rather insistent that things be done in a particular way, as I understood Srila Sridhar Maharaj was directing me to do. And some difference came there, and gradually I found myself to be almost alone. By a stroke of good fortune, Ramai Prabhu had joined us there, and he was worshipping our deity, Sri Sri Guru Garanga Gandharvika Giridhari Ju. So he was a great help to me, because not only because it meant having a pujari, and it meant someone who knew how to do all the things that Ramai knows how to do, but a steady brahmachari, a real brahmachari, and someone who also had great appreciation for Srila, not only Srila Prabhupada's teachings, but Srila Sridhar Maharaj's teaching, and also how to harmonize the two and work as a member of Chaitanya Saraswat Math, but as a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, which is what I was also, with the exception of taking sannyas from Srila Sridhar Maharaj. So that was very good for me, but it was very difficult, just the two of us, really it became a problem to meet our expenses, and the idea of we were renting, as is fairly customary when starting a preaching center or a temple. And I had the idea that why we were just throwing money into the hands of a landlord, why not use that same money to purchase our own buildings? And we couldn't afford to do that there. But there is an opportunity to do that here in New Jersey. And I thought, New Jersey is near to New York City. Anyone who's really interested in our preaching, they can visit us here, and we can also go there. And so we did that. And that's continued until today, as a matter of fact. So for quite a long time, from about 1989 until the present day. So this is a long wind-up, but I do want to take set the background a little bit. And why? A couple of points. One is that from 1987 until now, that this has been established as Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Math, working originally directly under the guidance of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, and after his disappearance, directly under the guidance of Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami Maharaj. I have been accused sometimes of not wanting to work with others, that I did not have a disposition to work with others. But I have always been working under the guidance of some higher authority from the time that I joined until the present day. And so I find that to be a bit of a specious argument. There's some truth in it, that I'm very have strong opinions, and perhaps a bit of a strong will also to follow what I understand Krishna consciousness to be, to understand and follow what I have read, heard, and understood from the instructions of my gurus. So, and I have been encouraged by them that we should do what I've tried to do, and that is, if all around us run away, that we ourselves shall stand firm, following the instruction of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. So I have tried to do that, and sometimes that has meant being without too much company. And that also Srila Sridhar Maharaj told me about. It was a question before I took sannyas that he directly asked me, and I accepted it as a question to determine whether I was suitable to be a sannyasi of his. And the questions, two questions were this: are you prepared to go alone in the world? And the second question, can you preach to women? So apparently these are two fairly troublesome things, and from my own experience I can vouch that yes, they are both very troublesome. To go alone in the world is not an easy thing, and for a sannyasi to deal with women and to preach to women, that also has its complications, and can prove to be difficult. So I said yes to both of these things, maybe a little naively, not fully comprehending all of the ramifications and difficulties that might ensue afterwards. But I have tried to remain faithful to those things, and when necessary to stand alone, I have stood alone, and when necessary to preach to women, I have preached to women, and I have maintained what I can say, as far as I can know, a proper position at all times in those relationships. So while I established the first mat of Srila Sridhar Maharaj in the West here, my other sannyasi godbrothers, like Sripad Ashram Maharaj and Sripad Goswami Maharaj, were establishing, had already established, and were continuing with their own missions. As I say, Sripad Goswami Maharaj established his mission, which he gave the name the Krishna Consciousness Movement, and he maintained that mission from, I think, about 1982. Well, actually, as far as I know, it's still registered, it's still a corporation, and he's still the head of it. So until today. I may be wrong about that, but up until at least a few years ago, I know that was still operating under his direction. So the Mahamandal was a sort of a loose-knit confederation of sannyasis of different initiating gurus with their own missions, and established during after the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada and during the time of Srila Sridhar Maharaj. So when I heard that Srila Govinda Maharaj had named six acharyas, then immediately it came to my mind that the result of that will be that there will be six acharyas, six sampradayas, and six missions. Six distinct acharyas, distinct sampradayas, because each acharya, each guru, his own sampradaya will follow him. And the acharya will generally have his own mission. So, verified by the things that I've just said, those who had accepted the position of guru, Sripad and myself, Sripad Goswami Maharaj, Sripad Ashram Maharaj, Sripad Sagar Maharaj, and maybe one or two others that I don't recall. We had, naturally, our disciples would be our sampradaya. We would have, just as Prabhupada, Swami Maharaj has his sampradaya, Srila Sridhar Maharaj has his sampradaya, Srila Govinda Maharaj has his sampradaya, their initiating God brothers have their sampradayas. That's the way of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas since the time of Srila Saraswati Thakur particularly, but before, as long as we know. So then with this in mind, and by the way, Goswami Maharaj still has disciples. Later, Janardhan Maharaj, as he was an initiating guru in ISKCON, he has disciples. Sripad Ashram Maharaj, he has disciples. And they maintain their disciples. The disciples maintain their relationship with their guru. And but their guru, these sannyasis that I mentioned, they accepted Srila Sridhar Maharaj and they accepted Srila Govinda Maharaj as their guru. We all accepted them as our guru, as our either our Shiksha guru, or in the case of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, all of us received sannyas from Srila Sridhar Maharaj and we accepted him as sannyas guru and Shiksha guru. And guru in every way. Guru is guru. So, no trouble following them. And what Srila Sridhar Maharaj said before his disappearance, he established one acharya, successor to him. Everyone knows that. It was so obvious and apparent. Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj was his successor. So that is the right. The acharya can name his successor. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj said, in his opinion, a guru will generally appoint his successor. So, and we've seen that the guru generally appoints his successor. An exception to that was Srila Saraswati Thakur, the guru of Srila Sridhar Maharaj. So, one sense, it may seem a little unusual that Srila Sridhar Maharaj would make the comment that a guru would generally appoint his successor when his guru did not appoint any successor. But anyway, this was his expression, the idea of Srila Sridhar Maharaj. The guru will generally appoint his successor. And when he heard that Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada had appointed 11 gurus, he took that to mean that Prabhupada had named his successors, the 11 sannyasis that Srila, and maybe Jayatirtha Maharaj, I think, was a grihastha at that time. So, anyway, 10 of his sannyas disciples and one grihastha, he named them that they would be his initiating gurus after his disappearance. Srila Sridhar Maharaj accepted that. I accepted it. Some do not accept it. But anyway, everyone has a different opinion about that. But I take that as evidence that, yes, what Srila Sridhar Maharaj is saying, that is the general expectation. And our Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, showed that. Srila Sridhar Maharaj showed that. He named one successor. Govinda Maharaj, Srila Swami Maharaj named 11 successors. Now Govinda Maharaj has named 6 successors. And so, as I mentioned, when I heard that he had named 6 acharyas, then I took that to be, to mean, and understood that understood that what will follow, if there are 6 gurus, 6 acharyas, then there will be 6 sampradayas. The nature of acharya is such that he will have his own mission, because acharya will not want to be encumbered by the undue influence from other gurus or acharyas. So, and the proof of that, the Mahamandal. We tried to organize a Mahamandal. It was actually a failure. And why was it a failure? Because everyone was going in their own direction. Because Goswami Maharaj wanted to go one way, Ashram Maharaj another way, I another way, Sagar Maharaj another way, etc., etc. So we met together because we had the common interest that Srila, we want to, we all appreciate what we are receiving from Srila Sridhar Maharaj. We want to disseminate his teachings. Goswami Maharaj and Sagar Maharaj were very expert and active in converting the some of the lectures of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, his talks, transcribing them and making them into books. I think in 1984, the first real book came out of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, The Search for Sri Krishna, done by His Holiness, Srila Bhakti Sudhir Goswami Maharaj. And Sagar Maharaj, we know famously, produced, translated from Bengali, The Hidden Treasure, The Sweet Absolute, the Bhagavad Gita of Srila Sridhar Maharaj. Actually, even before that, Sagar Maharaj and another sannyasi, Bhakti, I think his name was Vigyan Bharati Maharaj, Bharati Maharaj for sure, they, with Mukundamala Vilas, later became known as Mahayogi Maharaj, and with some help from Madhav Puri Maharaj and myself, produced the first edition of Sri Prapana Jivanamritam, the book of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, that with original Sanskrit verses and compilations of verses from previous acharyas. And so that actually was, I believe, the first publication to come out of Srila Sridhar Maharaj. But unfortunately, it wasn't really done so well, because to bring it out quickly or for whatever reason, many of the verses that from the Bhagavatam or from Chaitanya Charitamrita or Bhagavad Gita that had been already translated by Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj were just taken directly from the translations of Swami Maharaj and used in the Prapana Jivanamritam of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, rather than actually translating anew his own these verses in line with his idea of being presented in Prapana Jivanamritam. Later that was corrected. Sripad Sagar Maharaj produced a very beautiful edition of Prapana Jivanamritam that we're all familiar with, I hope. Containing so many essential verses for the preachers and for the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Saraswati. So, but he did this, Sagar Maharaj did that on his own. Goswami Maharaj did the books on his own from his organization. Ashram Maharaj was anxious to get the books published as much as possible in Spanish, and he produced translations of Search for Sri Krishna and then other books as soon as was possible by him in Spanish. And in this way, there was unity because we were all followers of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Sridhar Maharaj. And particularly now, Srila, after Prabhupada's disappearance, we're all working under the direction of Srila Prabhupada. But we weren't working together in any concrete fashion. That we had a friendship, and we still have that friendship. And But to think that we are working as some unified organization, as the Mahamandal or any other thing, that, you know, that was a dream. It was not a reality. So, back to the point. When I heard that six acharyas, Govinda Maharaj had named six acharyas, then I assumed we will go to that reality once again. The dream will be that the six of us will work in a unified fashion. That would be, in some ways, ideal, but not necessarily the highest ideal. And why not the highest ideal? Because it just, it's very difficult and it's a little unnatural. So we see that the stalwart preachers of Srila Saraswati Thakur, they became gurus, they became acharyas, they had their, they established their sampradayas and they had their own missions. So Srila Swami Maharaj, Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Srila Sridhar Maharaj established Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat. Srila Tirtha Maharaj continued a branch of the Gaudiya Mat. Other acharyas, Srila Goswami Maharaj, Srila Madhava Maharaj, and other godbrothers of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Sridhar Maharaj, they established, they became gurus and they established their own missions. And Srila Prabhupada said, generally a sannyasi will have his own mission for preaching Krishna consciousness. Srila Sridhar Maharaj, then, and the life of Gaudiya Mat proves it, shows it. It's like unequivocal that that is the tendency. So, if that tendency is going to be averted, then it will only be overcome if there is some sort of overall unifying force which draws the acharyas, the differing acharyas together with a interest to work for some common cause. So, to help each other work together with some common cause. So, I received, so, immediately after celebrating the disappearance of Srila Govinda Maharaj, on the 10th day after his actual disappearance, a celebration was held in Navadvip. I wanted to be there for that celebration. I called Srila Acharya Maharaj beforehand while I was here in the United States and told him I would like to come. And I was surprised to hear him say that it wasn't necessary for me to come. Maybe he thought that financially that would be difficult for us, which it was. And so he was giving that some consideration, trying to ease my discomfort if I actually couldn't afford to come. But I said, no, I would like to come. And he said, yes, of course, I can come. Then I called Sripad Janardhan Maharaj, who was in India at the time, and he was with Goswami Maharaj, and told Janardhan Maharaj I was thinking of coming. And I was surprised to hear the same thing again, that Janardhan Maharaj said, oh, it's not necessary for you to come, Maharaj. And I found it very odd. I think already on the website of the Navadvip Mat, there was an invitation encouraging everyone to come. But for some reason, when I was calling the leaders and suggesting that I would come, they were telling me, no, it's not necessary that you come. apparently necessary and encouraged for everyone else, but not for me. So this struck me a little odd, as you can imagine. But I was not able to go for this function after Srila Sridhar Maharaj's disappearance. And I felt a little, some difficulty about that. And in the case of Srila Govinda Maharaj, I had a close relationship with him, and I very intently wanted to show my honor and my respect to his divine grace, and felt I must be there for this disappearance celebration. And so I went for that. We have to set this timer. It'll take just a moment. How much time do we have left here?
15.
For R? R is 15?
Yes.
Okay. So, this, that I had talked with two of the leaders of our mission, noted leaders, and Goswami Maharaj also in the room with, and I think hearing what the conversation with Janardan Maharaj and myself, and I was told that myself, not necessary to come. So I didn't think much of it at the time. Still, I don't know if there's anything to make of it or not, but it was odd. It seemed odd to me. I went. We had the celebration. The night of the celebration, I received a phone call from Mahananda Prabhu about, I think, almost 11 o'clock at night. So the celebration was held on, I believe it was April 7th. That evening, I received a phone call from Mahananda Prabhu telling me, for the first time that I had heard it, that he was saying I was being invited, that tomorrow morning there will be a meeting of the Acharya Board, and that I was being invited. And I asked, why am I being invited? Because I didn't know really anything about an Acharya Board, and didn't know that I was the member of any Acharya Board. But he said, because Govinda Maharaj named you as an Acharya. Govinda Maharaj named me as an Acharya. Huh. So I was not expecting that. So that surprised me. I asked, who else did he name as Acharyas? Mahananda Prabhu told me, Acharya Maharaj, Sripad Janardan Maharaj, Sripad Ashram Maharaj, Sripad Trivikram Maharaj, and myself. Oh, he named six Acharyas. Yes, six Acharyas. Okay. All right, so and he said, Mahananda told me, that in Gurudev's will, he said there should be an Acharya Board. And so because of that, there was going to be a meeting of the Acharyas, and so I was invited to attend. So I attended that meeting, and to my surprise, Sripad Goswami Maharaj was there in the meeting. And So I assumed, oh, maybe he's there to as a guest because, you know, we know he is a learned person, and he was very dear to Srila Sridhar Maharaj and Srila Govinda Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada also, and a senior person, very senior person in our mission, an experienced man. So I thought, oh, then he must be here as maybe to, if there's any philosophical question, because he knows Shastra, he knows many quotations from Srila Sridhar Maharaj and so many things. So I thought, well, maybe he's here like as an advisor. If we wanted to had any particular question, then we could ask Goswami Maharaj to clarify or something. But again, to my surprise, rather than that, there was some searching, well, who should be the first to speak? And I think Avadhuta Maharaj and maybe someone else suggested, oh, Goswami Maharaj, he should be the first to speak. So Goswami Maharaj spoke, and what Goswami Maharaj said completely surprised me. I could not believe what I was hearing. And of course, I can't represent everything he said. He spoke for several minutes. But the gist of it was this, that Acharya Maharaj, he was chosen by Srila Govinda Maharaj to be the Acharya of the Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Math Navadvipa. And this was established by Srila Sridhar Maharaj, and now I'm using my own words, but this was established by Srila Sridhar Maharaj. This was held as a place of great sanctity and inspiration in the heart and mind of Srila Govinda Maharaj and all of us. We all know this. Srila Sridhar Maharaj's Samadhi Mandir is there. His deities that he installed are there. The land that he where he began his mission is there. Sri Govinda Kund is there. Everything is there, connected with the many, many decades of the divine pastimes of Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj. And we can think that that this was the seat of a great exalted acharya of the Rupanuga Sampradaya. And so as Sri Rupa Goswami, his bhajan kutir has special significance for us, and Srila Govinda Maharaj has elaborated greatly upon that, getting our temple in the, what he referred to as, I believe, the vicinity or the area, just being very in the area of the bhajan kutir of Rupa Goswami, that this is something of extremely special significance and great fortune for Govinda Maharaj took it as great fortune for our mission. So then, of course, some similar idea must be there regarding the seat of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, who is widely seen as, after Srila Saraswati Thakur, as the leader of the Rupanuga Guru Varga. So, much significance is naturally given to that. And Srila Govinda Maharaj showed in many ways the special significance of this. And so therefore, it was significant not only because of Srila Sridhar Maharaj's pastimes there, but because of Srila Govinda Maharaj's pastimes also. And so it is a place which is dear to the heart of the devotees, because this was the place of the pastimes of our two great gurus, Srila Bhakti Harkat Shiradev Goswami Maharaj and Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami Maharaj. So it's a fair case to make that, as Goswami Maharaj was doing, that because of this, that Acharya Maharaj should be seen as having a unique position, but he went too far, in my opinion. And as everyone has, each of the Acharyas has a unique position. That's without question. Everyone is unique. Every jiva is unique. Every guru is unique. Every Acharya is unique. But Goswami Maharaj tried to make this unique position into something that I believe it was never to be. And that is that because of this unique position, that Acharya Maharaj should be seen in some way as the superior Acharya to all the others. And not only superior, but Goswami Maharaj insisted that the other five Acharyas should all defer to Sripada or Srila Acharya Maharaj. That meaning that we will not initiate our own disciples, we will not accept the position of Acharya, really, that we would be the Ritviks of Srila Acharya Maharaj, that there would, as there was during the time of Srila Govinda Maharaj, where there was one Acharya of Chaitanya Saraswat Mat, there would, in essence, continue to be one Acharya of Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat, and that would be Srila Acharya Maharaj. How many minutes? So, I was the first to object to this, maybe the only one to object. I have to think about that a little more, but I think I was the first to object to this. And my objection was a very simple one and a very obvious one. Srila Govinda Maharaj named six Acharyas. And my reasoning was, I do not know why he selected six, but I know what Acharya is. And if there are six Acharyas, then there cannot be one Acharya. And we should not accept this idea that there will be only one Acharya of Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat. And I will not accept that idea. We discussed the point, and the Acharyas there, we debated the point, and I can say nothing so clear really seemed to come out of that meeting. But except in my mind, one thing became clear. What Gurudev has instructed for me, that I will be the Acharya of New York, New Jersey, and Detroit, that I accept that instruction and I will follow it. And the others, I have no control over what they do. They can do as they like. But what he has given as his instruction, I will follow that. And I am not buying into this idea that there will be only one Acharya. So, that's a good place to... That's the end of our tape here. And so we'll change tapes and come back to continue this discussion in a few moments. So, Jai, we'll end there. Jai Suparikar, Sri Sri Guru Granga, Sri Sri Gandharvika Girid Hariju, Ki Jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Sundara Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj, Ki Jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Rakak Shira Dev Goswami Maharaj, Ki Jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj, Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Jai Bhagavan Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande Haribol.